Hello, and welcome to This Is The Way podcast. My name is Zach Way, and I am the host of this short and simple podcast covering a spiritual discipline, a fruit of the Spirit, and a passage of Scripture. It's my kind of theory that working on all three of these things, for me, that's what makes the best quiet time, and it feels like I'm kind of making progress on my journey of sanctification as I'm practicing the fruit of the Spirit and learning and growing into a spiritual discipline. So we are halfway through the year now. That means we have gone over all of the internal spiritual disciplines, and we are now focusing on the external disciplines. And because it's the sixth month, we're covering the sixth fruit of the Spirit, which is goodness. The spiritual discipline that we'll be focusing on for the month of June is simplicity. And we'll be covering a lot of different passages of Scripture. But I just have a quick little word and then a little thought before we start talking about simplicity today. So I have been on a break for about a month now from all social media and news and this podcast, from a lot of things. And it has been so nice and freeing. The realization that I've come to is, well, I'll talk a little bit about this in a little bit, but I think that we have a call to cultivate our hearts and lives and mind more than we create and more than we consume. So we're kind of tending to the garden that is our life more and getting rid of the weeds and the distractions and the things that we really need to deal with more than we are creating, which for me, this podcast is something that I am creating, and also more than we consume. So what I would say for all of us is that would be a healthy kind of way to view how much we consume, what we consume, and how we are creating things. With that being said, taking a break from the news, there are obviously some things that are going on right now that I'm aware of, and it is, I think it's really difficult for a lot of people to process it, and so they are not processing the death of George Floyd and all of everything behind that. And so we have two sides of, you know, and a division and people arguing and fighting, and it's so nice to not be online and in that environment right now so that I can kind of step back and instead of consume, I can cultivate a heart of humility and understanding and grace and empathy, and I can, that also gives me space to grieve and lament. And I really think that that's what we should be doing right now. You know, this is a really good opportunity, much like the shelter in place because of COVID-19. These are really good opportunities for us to re-examine our life and figure out ways in which our thought patterns, our philosophies, our political opinions and leanings are in line or are out of line with God and His Word and what He desires for us. And so I think a lot of people right now are having maybe sort of an identity crisis where their politics do not align with possibly their philosophy or their theology, and they're having to re-examine it, and that is making them, they either are silent, and that would be like the flight reaction, or they are fighting. They're fighting to hold on to their opinions and their thoughts. I mean, now's not the time to fight. Like, seriously, it's just, it is not. And I think it'd be a lot better for a lot of people to just shut up and to be quiet and to listen to God and what He is doing in our hearts. Because when we're too loud, we drown out God's voice. When we put ourselves in an environment that is loud and obnoxious and is never ending, the consumer cycle of whatever the latest piece of news is, we distance ourselves from God. And I think a lot of people right now are reading the news and paying attention to politics a lot more than they are paying attention to God's never changing, always the same, never ending, unyielding, unfailing love, which is demonstrated in His Son, Jesus. So, all that to say is, I think now is a real good opportunity for us to step back from consuming and probably creating in order to cultivate our hearts more. So that's what I'm going to be doing, and I'm going to take a step back from doing this every day because I think that's probably unhealthy with everything else that I've got going on, and it's just me. So we'll be switching this to a monthly or bi-monthly, maybe weekly, I'm not sure yet, but I'll slow this down a lot. All that being said, let's jump into today. We're talking about the practice of simplicity. The practice of simplicity is both a discipline and a grace. When we enter into it, we find contentment and freedom. The practice of simplicity is both a discipline and a grace, and when we enter into it, we find contentment and freedom. Now, the Bible doesn't mention simplicity directly because it doesn't use that kind of language. It's kind of a new term, minimalism, simplicity, essentialism. But over the years, it has become so clear to me the passages of scripture that talk about living a simple life and living simply, because I now see that simplicity is connected to freedom and contentment. And Paul talks about freedom and contentment quite often. It's kind of like simplicity is the key that unlocks the secret to contentment and freedom. Simplicity is well, I'll be honest, it's my favorite spiritual discipline. And if you know me, you may know that for the past decade, my life has been marked by learning the practice of simplicity. It started out with ultralight backpacking. I had worn out my knees way before I should have. I wore them out from overuse, skateboarding, soccer, running, hiking, backpacking, and BMX biking. My parents, they called me the everything boy. I had too many hobbies, too many desires, and not enough time. I was a jack of all trades, but a master of none. My OCD nature continued to depress and deflate as thoughts of I'm not good enough rushed into my mind. Growing up, I was always kind of good at what I did, but I was never great. Well, my knees gave up before my desires did, and my plunge into the philosophy and spiritual discipline and practicality of simplicity began in kind of a roundabout way. It started with ultralight backpacking. Now, the philosophy behind ultralight backpacking was the same that I would later find reading a book that Joshua Becker wrote, where he says, minimalism is less about the things that you remove and more about the things that you add. The joy of minimalism lies in what you choose to pursue with your life rather than material possessions. So it's not so much as getting rid of things, but focusing most on the things that matter most. And ultralight backpacking was about learning and growing and experiencing the outdoors a lot more than traditional backpacking. A lot of camping and backpacking focused on getting the gear that you need in order to kind of survive in comfort in the outdoors. Well, I wasn't that interested in surviving in comfort, and I could rest in my knowledge and kind of give my knees a break and focus more on what mattered more and less on what didn't. I was done majoring in the minors. From ultralight backpacking, I began my journey into minimalism, which sparked the practice of the spiritual discipline of simplicity. I lived out of my truck for 2 years. Everything that I lived was back there, thanks in part to Dave Bruno's book, The 100 Thing Challenge. I began that challenge, and then for 3 years after living out of my truck, continued that challenge with living with 100 items or less, until I lost count, and I recognized that the heart of the problem was the problem of the heart. Now, during this time, I was reading Celebration of Disciplines and learning about the spiritual disciplines, and I found it interesting that there was a chapter on simplicity. And I started to learn more and more about that, and I remember picking up Richard Foster's book, The Freedom of Simplicity, and that's where it clicked for me. See, he believed that the topic of simplicity was so important that it deserved more than a chapter in Celebration of Disciplines. He needed to write a whole book. And he writes in the beginning of his book that Christian simplicity frees us from this modern mania. It brings sanity to our compulsive extravagance and peace to our frantic spirit. It allows us to see material things for what they are. They are goods to enhance life, not to oppress life. People once again become more important than possessions. Simplicity enables us to live lives of integrity in the face of terrible realities of our global village. See, Jesus lived simply. The disciples and the apostles lived simply. And we see repeatedly in God's word a call to simplicity. But we live so disconnected from that world that Jesus and the disciples and apostles were in. We're constantly distracted and surrounded by crippling complexity and overwhelming abundance. So as we begin this new practice, our homework for the week is to pick up the book Freedom of Simplicity and read it or listen to it. We'll get into practical tips and best practices later, but I think it's important to begin with a firm foundation, because the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. And if we build our practice of simplicity based on maybe these like secular tips and minimalist authors who don't have an actual understanding of the spiritual implications of simple living, then we build our practice on the sand, and we're blown and tossed by the wind, and when the rains come and the floods fall, our house will crash. And the next thing you know, we'll be listening to some minimalist guru who's going to be telling us to cut out people in our lives who are not adding value. Which is so against the way of Jesus and the practice of Christian simplicity. So as we end today, I wanted to end in a prayer, and then in the show notes I will put some additional resources, and I'll be back in a week or 2 weeks, I'm not sure, as I try to figure this out. But I did want to end with this prayer and also a call to kind of re-examine your life and how much you are consuming or how much you are creating, and use this time as an opportunity to cultivate the garden and posture and of your heart and mind. Lord, help me to be grateful for what I have. Remember that I don't need most of what I want, and that joy is found in simplicity and generosity. If you have a prayer or prayer request or thought, click the link in the show notes, and we will pray for each other. Until next time, happy trails.